Well, artificial intelligence made its way back onto the front pages this week for various reasons. Of course, there was the launch of this new Chinese large language model, artificial intelligent agent, DeepSeek. Kind of interesting, and for various reasons, the speed with which it was developed, the lack of huge seed funding that was required to establish that, the LLM, the large language model, the impact that it had on the share market in the US, particularly with NVIDIA. One of the interesting things, apart from the fact it won't answer any questions about anything that's a little bit controversial in Chinese circles, but when you do ask it a question, it first begins by showing you the kind of working that it's pondering. It's giving you a whole bunch of different kind of questions and the different issues that it needs to take account of as it's coming to its conclusion, coming to its answer. So, you know, I asked it questions about prayer and about contemplation, and I didn't specify in Christianity, so it had to give me a bit of basis in the different religious traditions of the world and so forth. So all of that is kind of fascinating, as all of these models are. We also had on Thursday the release of the Vatican, the two different dicasteries, the Dicastery for the Doctrine of the Faith, the old CDF, and the Dicastery for Christian Education, together released this note, even though it's more than 30 pages, so it's a long note on the relationship between artificial intelligence and human intelligence. And it's called Antiqua et Nova, the old and the new, quoting from the Gospel of Matthew. Now, this note is actually fascinating in so many different ways, for it's inviting us into this deeper sense of pondering how all these new technologies are interacting and how they're impacting upon the world. And it's a very fair statement, giving us lots of context and trying to invite us into a deeper encounter, a deeper reality with all of these different things that face us and confront us within our world. And it's a great statement, and I recommend it to you if you're interested in this area at all. But one of the dangers that are certainly present within any of these new technological systems is that they tend to favor those who are well off. They tend to favor those who already have resources and finances to back them. And it's significant that what we see in this gospel is once again the exact contrast to all of what Trumps and the Musks of our world might want to demonstrate is central. What we see in the gospel today are two nobodies. Simeon and Anna are there just praying, just going about their tasks of pondering, of being open to the power of the Lord. We all know people like Simeon and Anna, people who are just good people. Luke tells us that they're devout people, people who are wanting to simply serve the Lord. You know, we often get this pretty negative expression or negative understanding of the life of Judaism at the time, that it seemed pretty corrupt and there wasn't a lot of vitality. And yet we get these little nobodies, these models, to remind us that no, there were people who were devoutly living out the call of the Lord, that they were open to the promptings of God. They were open to the power even of the Holy Spirit to be at work within their lives. And they invite us into this experience of being open to what God might be calling us to today. You know, in the different ways that God speaks, that God is available to us, we need to be open in the same way the Simeon and Anna were. In our simple devotions, in what we do to try and make room and space for God to speak to us, that we can also be used by the Lord. Because Joseph and Mary, even though the text says that they needed to be purified, when you read in the book of Leviticus, and I'm sure you've read that text very regularly, you know, I'm sure you've taken it as one of your devotional texts pretty often. You know, those laws of purification are fascinating in their own, if you want to read it. It's in Leviticus 12 for later reference. What we get there is about the need for the woman to be purified. I mean, this feast used to be called the Purification of Mary before the reforms of the council that invited us to ponder more upon the second part of it, which is the presentation of Jesus as the first to open the womb of Mary, the first child to be released within that experience. And we see, of course, even though Leviticus 12:6 says that the standard offering to buy back a child, the firstborn, is a one-year-old lamb and either a pigeon or a turtle dove, there is an allowance that is made two verses later in Leviticus 12:8, saying that if you can't afford to buy a lamb, if you can't afford to offer a sacrifice of a one-year-old lamb, you can offer two. And that's what Mary and Joseph do. So again, they're reminding us, these aren't powerful people. They're not people with wealth, people that are able to throw things away. They get a whole sense of when we struggle to go through life, when we're finding it hard to have enough just to get through today. We've got these powerful intercessors in Mary and Joseph to accompany us, just as we do with Simeon and Anna. That just as they continue to remind us of this call to give ourselves more fully to God, to be invited into this surrender, that we can also take upon ourselves that gift of offering our hearts and our lives in service of the Lord. Just as Jesus was presented in the temple, so also we can offer ourselves as a living sacrifice, that we can offer all that we have over the course of this new month and this new opportunity to experience the wonder of God. That God is inviting us into this deeper encounter. Just as Simeon prophesied over Mary, saying that even a sword will pierce your soul. So also to know that when we are serious, when we try, like the little ones, try and give ourselves more fully to God, it's not without cost. And yet, if we are serious, if we want to be a source and a sign in the world of God's life and love, if we want to be something that stands in contrast to all of the age of technology and all of the age of oppression and all of the age where the rich are simply continuing to rise and the separation and the gap between the rich and the poor continues to grow, we need to be those people that continue to offer all that we are into the service of God. The Lord is in need of people right now that can say, yes, I will stand with you. Yes, I will offer my heart and my life to you. Yes, I will be a victim of love. Yes, I will allow your goodness and your grace to flow from within me. Yes, I will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit to be released within me. Let's indeed be people who present ourselves, who dedicate ourselves to the Lord, and allow God and His goodness to call us into that freedom and life today.